have worked our way through the festival half of the church year, the promise of Christ, Christ in the flesh, Christ crucified and risen for us, the miraculous outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity at work, and now we see God at work in our life as he grows us and sustains us in the Christian faith. A couple of words on our worship service for today. Our opening hymn, as we heard in the prelude, 504, Father Most Holy. We'll stand on the last verse of that hymn. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3. That's on page 184 and following. Page 184 and following. Propers for the day are on the inside of our bulletin. Readings are on the back page. For those that are worshiping on the radio or online, you can get a copy of the propers at our church website, goodshepherdlincoln.org. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for the gifts that you so graciously give us. Heavenly Father, today we thank you for the gift of your word, your holy and precious word, the Bible. Heavenly Father, in these words, your word, we have life. Tune our ears and our hearts and our lives that we would truly hear your word and believe your word. For in your word and your word alone is there life everlasting. Lord God, all these things we pray in the name of the Word made flesh, Jesus, crucified and risen for the life of the world. Amen. Hymn 504. Divine Service Setting 3, page 184. Page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray on your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing the introit appointed for the day.
I will sing to you.
Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers. And because through the weakness of our mortal nature, we can do no good thing, grant us your grace to keep your commandments, that we may please you in both will and deed. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. We continue with the readings. Please be seated.
Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual appointed for the day.
I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him.
The epistle is from 1 John chapter 4. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us." And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, page 191.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God.
May be seated for our sermon hymn number 768. To God the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Number 768.
the name of Jesus, amen. Dear Christians, our gospel lesson is a very familiar one, one that we've heard many times, one that we learn in Sunday school, and it teaches us many important truths. You know the gospel lesson, you just heard it. In it, there are two men, a rich man who feasted sumptuously every day, and a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who eats from the trash. Both of them die. Lazarus goes to heaven. The rich man goes to hell. And that's the first truth that we ought to notice from this gospel lesson. When you die, and you will either go to heaven or you will go to hell. That will happen. You won't be forgotten. You won't wander around in your children's attic. You'll be in heaven or hell. And once you get there, you stay there. Wherever there is. That's the truth. That's what awaits you. The question that we have to ask as soon as we acknowledge that truth, heaven or hell, is before us, the question we have to ask is, why? Why do people go to heaven? Why do people go to hell? Why does Lazarus end up in heaven? Why does the rich man end up in hell? Is the rich man in hell? Is he condemned because rich people are inherently evil? Well, not exactly. Rich people are sinful people, but so are poor people. Everyone is sinful, regardless of their economic class. And in fact, the scriptures give us all sorts of examples of rich people who are saved. King David, King Solomon, scripture says he was the wisest and wealthiest ruler ever. Abraham was rich. Jacob was rich. Joseph was a ruler in Egypt. He was rich. We even have wealthy women like Queen Esther, who saves her people from destruction, but is rich. These people and countless more are wealthy. And yet we still know that they are loved by God. The rich man does not go to hell because he is rich. What about Lazarus? Is he saved because he was a beggar? Is he saved because he's poor? Because he eats leftovers from the trash? Is Lazarus saved because his body is covered by sores? Because he's licked by dogs rather than cared for by people? Is he saved because he was a nice guy who had a bad set of life circumstances? No. He's not saved because he's poor. He's not saved because he is sick. I mean, there's all sorts of poor people in the Scriptures who are not saved. And we have sick people like Naaman, who was both sick and a successful general. How about other lepers? King Uzziah, Simon the leper, are they automatically in heaven because they are sick? Of course not. So what's going on? Why are some in heaven and others in hell? Let's make this real personal so that we can understand. Why are you going to be saved? Why are you going to heaven? Is it because you've earned more money than the people around you? Like the rich man? Is it because you've earned less money than the people around you? Like Lazarus? Are you saved because you've had cancer, or Parkinson's, or Alzheimer's, or COVID-19, or any other disease? Are you saved because you've been dealt a tough hand in life, because you were born into a broken family and turned things around? Are you saved because you live in the wrong part of town? Are you saved because you've suffered at the hands of someone else? Are you saved because you're successful? Because you live in one of the nice neighborhoods with trees lining the streets and flowers in front of the houses? Are you saved by your mission trip that you took to Mexico? Are you saved by how much you tithe to support the church? Are you saved because of how many churches we've recorded your attendance at? No. None of these things is the reason for your salvation. In fact, the truth is this: you are not saved because of you at all. Stop thinking that. You are saved because of Jesus. Because of the Son of God living a perfect, holy life and dying on the cross for you. Rising from the dead for you. Ascending into heaven to prepare a place for you forever. You are saved because of Jesus and His holy, precious blood pouring out upon the earth, covering you in baptism, feeding you from the altar. You are saved because of Jesus. It's because of Him that you will be in heaven. No other reason. None at all. And those who are in hell, it's not because they're worse or really that different from you. It's because they don't believe in Jesus. It's that lack of faith in Jesus that leads to their eternal condemnation and eternity in hell. Heaven is real. Hell is real. We all will end up in one of those two places, and our faith is the thing that determines where we go. And it's the same for the rich man and Lazarus in our gospel lesson for today as well. Yes, the rich man probably seemed like a nice guy. Outwardly, he appeared to be a successful guy. He had the nice house, the nice yard, the tree-lined streets. He didn't have any public open sin that we know of, like murder or theft or extortion. Jesus would have mentioned that, right? He appeared to be a normal guy with friends and family like everyone else. But underneath that, God saw the truth. He didn't believe. He didn't trust in Jesus. Instead, he loved himself, his stuff, and anything else. On the other hand, Lazarus appears like he's never caught a break in his life. He's been abused, mistreated, hurt, forgotten. His life has been a struggle every day. And yet God sees through all that outward shenanigans and sees the faith that he has gifted to him through the work of the Holy Spirit. Lazarus understands that the things of this life, suffering, pain, loss, cannot take away God's promise of eternal life and salvation through Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. Faith in Jesus, that's why Lazarus is in heaven. Faith in Jesus, that's why he's saved. Faith in the promises of God. That when Lazarus dies, his own eyes see fulfilled. The same is true for you, dear Christian. You are saved because you have faith in Jesus. God has gifted that faith to you. Your name is written in the book of life. Just like Lazarus, you'll be in heaven. Abram's bosom, a place of peace, comfort, and joy forever because of Jesus. Heaven is real. Hell is real. We're all going to one or the other, and faith determines that difference. But Pastor, how do I believe? How do I get that faith stuff? God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's really great. But how do I get faith? How do I believe? Well, we've determined it's not because of anything that you do. You learned that in confirmation class, didn't you? What the catechism says? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. Instead, the Holy Spirit calls us by the gospel. The gospel, the word of God, preached, read, sang, studied. God's word bestows faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Wherever God's word is, the Holy Spirit grants faith. That's why church is so important. So long as God's word is preached and taught in its truth and purity. The Holy Spirit calls by the gospel and enlightens us with his gifts. What gifts? The gift of holy baptism, where water was poured upon your head, plain water, to which was attached the word of God. When that word and water touched you, your sin was taken away as far as the east is from the west. You were clothed in the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all your sin. You were adopted into God's family. The Holy Spirit worked in that gift to give you faith. What other gifts? Well, here at the altar, Christ's body and blood is gifted to you, given for you to eat and to drink for forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. When God's word is attached to bread and wine, the Holy Spirit works faith in those who eat and drink. Sins are really, truly forgiven, not just here on earth as an outward sign for the people who saw you in church, but also in heaven, where God gives you a foretaste of the heavenly feast that has no end. God's word, preached, taught, read, sang, washed upon you, and fed into your lips. That's why you believe. That's how you're saved. It is God's word and the work of the Holy Spirit in that word that gifts faith to you. That's even what Abraham says to the rich man in our gospel lesson today, isn't it? The rich man says, "Warn my family so they don't go to hell." And Abraham says, "They have Moses and the prophets." The Bible, God's word, let them hear them. Lazarus is saved because the Holy Spirit created faith in him through the word and through the sacraments. The rich man is condemned because he rejected the words and promises of God and loved himself instead. Heaven and hell are real. You will be in one of them based on your faith, which God gives you through word and sacrament. That's the truth for you. Yes, let's talk about you. Not some rich man, not some poor man. You. You are saved, dear Christian, because God gives his word to you. You are saved because the Holy Spirit works faith in you. Faith that looks to Jesus. He lived a perfect life for you. He died and rose for you. He made sure his word came to your ear to call you, gather you, and enlighten you into the faith. He gives his Holy Spirit to you. He will be with you each and every day of your life. And when your last day comes, or as we'll sing during communion, when at last God's angels come to Abram's bosom, God will bear you home. And you can die unfearing. Yes, your body might be kept safe in peaceful sleep in a narrow chamber in the ground, but you still need not fear. You belong to God, the God of the living, not the God of the dead, the God of heaven, the God who saved you. Death has no power over you. You will live like Lazarus lives, like Jesus lives. You will be resurrected. You will be at peace. Heaven is real. It's where you'll be because you believe in Jesus by the work of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This time we stand together and sing the offertory.
Be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. Taking care of our registration and offering as you come in the door. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. We pray that God would richly bless His word as we hear it, believe it, and keep it. Our service continues now with the prayers of the church. We stand. In addition to the prayer requests that are listed in our news and notes, we rejoice with Ramon and Daisy Marcon with the gift of a daughter, Bella Nahome. We pray. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace, that your holy name would be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
May your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Heavenly Father, bless all mission activities in the church. This day we especially ask your blessings on Lutherans in Africa. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Hear our prayer.
Strengthen us by your Spirit, according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands we commend all who are in need, especially those who have requested our prayers, Ron, Janet, David, Sheldon, Barb, Lynn, Sarah, Jerry, Vern, Luke, Marilyn, Greg, Andy, Julie, and the family of Gerald Gurdus. Praying for them at all times, thy will be done. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant us our daily bread. Preserve us from greed and selfish cares. Help us to trust in you to provide for all our needs. Heavenly Father, help us to rejoice in all of your good gifts. Be with Ramon and Daisy as they rejoice in the gift of a daughter, Bella. Keep mother and daughter safe until she is born again in the waters of holy baptism. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Bless all those who come at your gracious invitation to receive the very body and blood of your Son in and under bread and wine for the forgiveness of sin. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And lastly, O Heavenly Father, deliver us from all evil of both body and soul, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Service of the Sacrament, page 194. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right
so to do. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Hosanna, Hosanna.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
art now in peace and joy, your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We stand and sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please be seated for our closing hymn. Closing hymn today is number 632, O Jesus, Blessed Lord to Thee. This is a favorite hymn. It's a post-communion hymn, but a favorite hymn of one of our members who, because of all the things going on, has not been able to be in God's house, but I know she's watching on YouTube today, and we pray God's blessings not only upon all those who are separated from our fellowship, and we long for them to be back in God's house, but we also pray God's blessings upon them as they hear the word of God and believe it. Hymn 632. Amen. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. Just a couple of quick announcements. The way the procedures are for now, they'll be till the end of June. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. If you didn't get them when you came in, they're on the table there. The back page is devoted to the specific procedures that we have now. Elders are constantly reviewing them. We hope we can get up to the rail soon and start adult Bible study again soon, one step at a time. We pray God's blessings on the leaders and the decisions that are made in that particular way. We have a blood drive here Friday at Good Shepherd. Any questions about that, you can talk to Adam. We did need some volunteers, and we had some step forward. We did a blood drive back in April. We're zero concerns, zero problems. So we're looking forward to a smooth opportunity to donate blood and save lives this Friday right here at Good Shepherd. Our mission, our special mission focus this month is Lutherans in Africa. There's some brochures, postcards of the family, offering envelopes. We one of the things that we've been lacking on during this time of suspended worship and then socially distanced worship without Bible study and Sunday school, we haven't really had an opportunity to have that mission focus like we do every month. And so that's our mission for this month. Keep Lutherans in Africa in your prayers. Get informed on them. And if you'd like to support them in a tangible way, we encourage you to do that as well.
Dismiss from the back to the front?
Yes, I always forget that. We will be dismissing from the back to the front. I know lots of people want to visit and all that kind of stuff. It is... It's not too intolerable outside today. So if you want to visit and all that kind of stuff, we encourage that. Try to do it outside so we don't get all bunched up out in the narthex area. We did have a funeral yesterday, Christian burial for Gerald Gurdus. Gerald passed away 89 days ago, and we were finally able to have the funeral yesterday. Yesterday would have been Gerald and Vernita's 66th wedding anniversary. And so we keep Vernita in the family in your prayers. We had a really, really wonderful turnout for the funeral. The folks here in the congregation provided individual lunches. The family was able, after being distant for so long, the family was able to come together and have that much needed fellowship and grieving. And even though it was delayed, it was great to see God's word in action, comforting, encouraging, and healing. Please keep Vernita in your prayers, and we pray God's blessing upon all those who are separated for one reason or another, and that they'd be able to return very, very soon. I think that's all. Have a great day and week and life in the Word of God.